Hi everyone, welcome to the Best Kept Secret podcast, where my guests and I share our best kept secrets about topics from a wide variety of things. Thank you so much for coming back and watching yet another episode, yet another week. For those of us who are watching on YouTube, today I am makeup free. Those of us who are just listening, I'm so sorry you get to miss out on my beautiful face today, but thank you for listening in. Today, we're going to be speaking about the imposter syndrome and everything in between. I think the first time that I was aware that I was struggling with the imposter syndrome was when I was in my first job. I got this job straight out of uni, luckily, out of God's grace. I didn't really tarmac much. I got it just when I had, before I even graduated, actually. And I just hated it. It was my first 9-to-5 and it ended up being my last 9-to-5. Not that I'm saying 9-to-5s are bad. It was just not for me. My boss was, I mean, she had her good days, but a lot of the time she wasn't so nice to me. So I just wasn't in a good place mentally. I wasn't in a good place, like just in general, like in life, right? So I made the decision to quit. But before I made that decision, I went through a very nerve-wracking time just trying to figure out, okay, so is this like the right decision to make? What if I quit? Where am I gonna go? How am I gonna make money? And then, you know, when you have a salary coming up at the end of every month, there's some sort of comfort you get from that, knowing that you don't really have to hustle. Like at the end of the month, you're going to get a paycheck, right? So the goal was to leave and start a business. But then I was like, okay, like what? Like I was just so very confused. A lot of my colleagues were also quitting at that same time. I think we were all just very tired of this toxic work environment that we were all working in. So I was just like, okay, God, I think this is a time that I had just gotten saved. And I was like, okay, so I feel like I want to quit this job. Please just let me know if I am making the right decision. And I remember I watched a lot of sermons. I just like went so deep just trying to figure out like, okay, what do I do when I need to make a decision and I want to I want to be guided by God through it? Because I mean, I was new in the faith at that time, so I didn't really know how that goes. So I honestly just prayed a lot and I was like, okay, God, if you want me to quit this job, if you think that quitting this job is the right decision for me to make, please just like send me a sign, send me something, like send me a pigeon, like something. Just tell me that this is the decision I need to make. So I had a side hustle, side job, where I used to work at The Nation. I used to write articles on fashion, and I had that job ever since I was maybe in my second year of uni. Even how I got that job was, again, just God's grace. So they suddenly called me out of nowhere. I never really had to report to the office because it was, I mean, I just used to send my articles. It would be edited, reviewed, and then it would be on the paper. So I never had to go to the office. So randomly they called me to the office, and I was like, oh God, so now I want to quit this job and then this other job wants to fire me. Like, how am I going to make money? Luckily I was living in my parents' house, but I was like, okay, so I don't have really like many bills to worry about, but I want to have my own money and not depend on my parents all the time. So they called me and I'm like, I'm telling my friends now, and I'm leaving my current office to go to the other workplace, that, guys, me, I feel like I'm going to get fired. So just, you know, if I come back crying, yeah, just like, you know, be there for me. So I go to the place and they tell me, yeah, Sharon, so we just went through your contract again, because the guy who had hired me had just left. So they were like, yeah, we reviewed your contract and we think you've been grossly underpaid all these years and we want to give you a salary increment. And I'm like, really? By how much? And they're like, we're going to double your current salary. And when they did that, that meant that I was actually now being paid how much I was being paid at my current job that I was trying to quit. I was like, God, thank you so much. This is like my green light for me to leave this job and just like, you know, at least now I have that same salary. Now I have it and it's going to be coming at the end of the month. And now I can figure out what I want to do with my life. I don't need to stay in this toxic workplace. So I ended up quitting, and then, like I had said, the plan was to quit and start my own business. Let me tell you, when the imposter syndrome reared its ugly head, I have never doubted myself like in that moment. I just went through so many thoughts and so many thoughts of feeling unworthy, so many thoughts of confusion. Like, Sharon, honestly, what are you doing? You have no expertise when it comes to running a business. You don't even know how to write a business plan. Like, just like go back to that job that you have left, because they did actually come back and they offered me a counter when I quit, and they were like, okay, we'll increase your salary, blah, 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 and all these things. And it was very tempting at the time, but I could feel it in my gut that this is not what I wanted to do anymore with my life. This is not the direction I wanted to take with my life. So the imposter syndrome is telling me all these thoughts, all these things in my mind, right? And how I like to see, how I see the imposter syndrome, I see it as that little voice in your head that keeps telling you that you're unworthy, that you're not good enough, that you can't do this, that you're an imposter, and people are going to find out that you're an imposter, and all these things you have achieved are all a lie and all a sham, and people will find out soon enough that you're actually not as good as you think you are. So it's telling me all these things, right? And to some extent, I was like, okay, I'm gonna fight it. But then another side of me is like, okay, just believe it and just maybe try to do something else. So I decided, I was like, you know what? I'm just gonna seek God and see what He wants me to do in this season now that I have left this other season. So again, I went just into a deep place of prayer, just trying to figure out, okay, God, like, what do I do? How do you want me to proceed? And I could feel a nudge in going back to school. And me, I was one of those people, when I finished uni, I was like, I'm never gonna go back to school again. Like, I hated school ever since I was in high school. Uni was a bit better. And I actually did very well in uni as compared to high school. But I was like, me, I'm done with school. I'm never going back. So I was like, okay, maybe I should go back and do a fashion course. So I applied for many, many schools abroad because I was like, nah, if I'm going to go back, I'm not going to go back to a school in Kenya. Obviously, my parents couldn't afford it at the time. So I was there trying to find scholarships, nothing, nothing was working out. And then I think I just had a thought, and I feel like this was God, like, just placing it in my mind to go back to school and do my master's in psychology. So my undergrad was not in psychology. But then I just had, again, just like that crippling fear of, okay, what do I know about psychology? And what tells me that I'm even capable of doing a master's? Then I was like, you know what? I'm just going to power through these thoughts, like swim through this, like many thoughts, and just go ahead and do it. So I remember I made the decision. I went and I talked to my parents. I even remember vividly, they were both in the kitchen, both my mom and dad. And I was like, yeah, guys, so I've decided I'm going to go back to school and do my master's. So my mom already knew I was looking for schools to do fashion. And she was like, oh, you found a school. And I was like, no, actually, I'm going to go to back to Daystar and I'm going to go do a master's in psychology. So they were very confused, especially my mom. She was like, psychology, like, where is this coming from? But it was coming from just like my own mental health struggles and just wanting to learn more about, I've always been intrigued by the human brain and how it works and all of that. So that was my motivation, just to understand more about that field. So I explained that to them and they were like, okay, my dad is very good at supporting whatever it is you want to do. But he's not always been like that. He learned how to be like that at some point. And he was like, okay, however you want us to support you, we'll support you. And I was like, okay, great, cool. So I went, I applied, I got in, and then I had to move out at the same time because my parents live a bit far from Daystar. So I moved out, found a house, all of these things. At this time, I'm still surviving on that one check that I have, which is not a lot of money, by the way. Now I have rent to pay, My parents were like, yeah, we're going to pay maybe a month or two of rent, and we're going to pay maybe a few semesters of this master's, but at some point you're going to have to take it up. And I was like, yeah, sure, guys, let's do it, let's do it. So I did that. I moved out, and if there's anything that I am grateful for is that I was able to plow through, or like power through those negative thoughts, that I was able to power through that voice telling me that I can't do it, that I am not worthy of this thing, that I am not capable of this thing, and that I am an imposter. So I'm so grateful for that, because that allowed me to be independent. It allowed me to now move into my first home, go do this master's that I have not finished till today. But nitamaliza too, nitamaliza. But I mean, I'm done with my coursework. I just need to write my thesis. So anyways, so I move out, I do all of that. So this like deep desire to have a business in fashion was still very much deep within me, and I still really wanted to do it. So I remember I had a conversation with my mom, and I was like, yeah, mom, I still want to like import some clothes and sell them, and I really still want to have a business. And she was like, okay, cool. Oh, like, thank God for my parents. They are honestly really supportive. So I remember she sent me some money. She sent me 100K, and she was like, okay, I'm going to give you this 100K. I don't know what you can do with it, but use it and do whatever you can do to start this business. And I was like, yeah, thanks, mom. Let me tell you guys, the way I ate that money, like I think in a week or two, I ate the entire amount. I did not invest a single shilling into the business. So now I had to try again, but now I had to come up with the funds, because I've already used the supportive parents card. So I came up with some money. I imported some clothes, some shoes and bags. My strategy was not strategizing, like it wasn't making sense, but I was like, I'm doing it. I had no plan. I had no nothing. All I knew is that I wanted a business in fashion. Fashion has always been my thing. And I knew if I was ever going to make money, it would be in fashion, because it's the thing that like I understand very well. So I import these clothes, I end up selling them, but then like I don't even know how to price my items, I don't even know what my profit margins are meant to look like, and all of that, right? So obviously that just didn't work out. Luckily, I had no dead stock. I was able to somehow, with the small influence I had then, I was able to sell them. So I was like, okay, maybe I just need to take a break from this trying to start a business thing. And then I think the imposter in my mind came alive more than ever. And it was like, yeah, you see, I told you you're not going to be able to do this thing. Now look at you there with no, like, you know, making no sense whatsoever. So I put a pause on that, and then I focused more on my content creation and finishing my coursework in school and all of that, and that was great. So now, the third time that I was like, okay, I'm going to give this business thing another try, and I don't care, but I just have to succeed at it. And I think there's a beauty in waiting for God's time. Because honestly, you know that quote, for God's time is the best time? It honestly is. Because all those other times I tried, I think it wasn't God's time. I think I wasn't fully baked. And you know, there's this analogy that I learned from someone, and she was telling us how, you know, when you bake a cake, the only way you're able to enjoy the cake is if it's fully baked. If you remove it in the oven before it's baked nicely, it's not going to be a good cake. And I think that I was definitely not a fully baked cake at that time. I did not understand how to manage money. I was very reckless with my money, with my spending habits. I was very reckless just as a person. I was still very young, and not to say that young people can't run successful businesses, but there was a lot of things I needed to learn before God was going to bless me with much, because you have to be able to be faithful with the little if He is to bless you with much. And let me tell you one thing, one principle I have learned with God. God is a God of small beginnings. He honors small beginnings. I think there's even a verse in the Bible, I forget it, but something about how, you know, you start small and he blesses the small thing and it becomes a big thing, right? So not to say that you can't start with small or you can't, you know, start with what you have in your hand, right? Because he's a God of small beginnings. So fast forward in the year 2020, I made the decision to, you know, give this business thing another try. And what I did differently this time is that I took my time. I think I took about maybe a whole year just doing my market research, just trying to figure out, okay, how do I want to, coming up with the business plan, coming up with how I want to proceed with the business, how I want to price my items, who is my target audience, who is the woman I am targeting in these clothes that I am making or selling. Am I bringing in clothes? Am I making them locally? I took a whole year, and even the day that I launched, which was in September 2021, even that day that I launched, I remember freaking out. I remember, by this time, by the way, guys, I have shot, I have done a photo shoot, I've done a video shoot, I have the clothes ready. They're just in my house looking at me like, yes, we're ready to be sold. I freaked out so bad. I was like, the voice was just there, like shouting at me, telling me, so you're here, you're doing this again. You think now this time you're going to sell because you took a year. So this time I called two of my friends and I was like, guys, I just need you to pray over me and just pray over this business as we launch, because I am scared out of my mind. I am so out of my comfort zone, and I really don't know what I'm doing, but I just need you guys to pray for me. I don't even have the words to pray right now. And both of them prayed over me over the phone, and I launched, and it was such a success, which is honestly glory to God and just you guys being so supportive over Epiphany. And all this to say, now that I have shared my story, all this to say that, one, I had the choice to remain in my comfort zone, which was content creation and my school and all of that, because those were things that I had, you know, I had kind of like mastered the craft. So starting this business and having failed twice before was extremely out of my comfort zone. So I had the option to be like, okay, I've tried twice and I failed twice. So what makes me think that the third try, I'm going to get it right? And literally a few days ago, I was having a conversation with my friend and I was telling her, and she was asking me to call her out if she was doing something that she shouldn't have been doing in the context of what we're talking about. And I was telling her that you're so stuck in your comfort zone, and your comfort zone is not even comfortable anymore. You're not even comfortable anymore, but you're so hell-bent on remaining in your comfort zone. And I realized that I had the option to remain comfortable in my comfort zone that wasn't even comfortable anymore, or I had the option of just taking a step of faith and just putting myself out there and giving this thing another try. Number two, when it comes to the imposter syndrome, I think what has worked for me is just talking back to that voice. There's technique in psychology about reframing your thinking, and one of the ways you can do that is by looking at yourself, like when you go through a situation and those negative voices and that those negative thoughts come up, think of yourself as your younger self, or if you had a baby, think of that baby. Would you talk to that baby the same way that you're speaking to yourself in that moment? Would you tell your baby or your younger self, you're so horrible at this. You have no idea what you're doing. You're going to fail at this. You're horrible. Everyone is gonna hate this thing. You would absolutely not talk to your younger self like that, and you would not talk to your baby like that, and you would not even allow someone to talk to your younger self or your child like that. So how you can do that is just reframe your thinking. Every time that negative thought comes up and it tells you that you're not good enough, you talk back at it. Like, I have conversations in my head, and when it tells me, Sharon, you're gonna fail at this, I'm like, haha, no, I am not gonna fail at this. I don't know what I'm doing, but I'm gonna figure it out, and I'm going to be good at this, even though I am not good at it now. It's honestly a technique that has done wonders for me. Like, I am constantly talking back to that negative voice. And I have shared before that how your brain works, the things that you tell it, it believes it. If you tell your brain that everyone hates me and life sucks, it's going to believe that. But if you tell your brain I'm not feeling the best right now, but we're going to figure this out. You're going to start figuring it out one way or another. So that's a technique that I would love, absolutely love for you guys to give that a try. Number three, I am a big believer in just taking that step of faith, even though you don't have everything figured out. I mean, yes, have a plan. Me, I'm a master. I love plan. I love having a plan. But there's this story in the Bible about Isaiah, if I'm not wrong. Should be Isaiah. And literally, God asks, whom shall I send? Who will go for us? And Isaiah says, me, I'm here, God, send me. And that was the beginning of his ministry. And Isaiah is such a powerhouse in the Bible. You guys, you know, I'm just read about him. The man is a powerhouse, right? And I think every single thing that I feel like has been placed on my heart to do, because believe it or not, all these things, all these plans, all these ideas, all these desires you have in your heart, they most of them come from God. They're already within you because you're capable of achieving them, of doing them. So every single thing that I desire to do, or every single thing that I feel like God has placed in my heart to do, when I feel like it's the time for me to go out, it's the season for me to go out and do it, my thinking now is always, I'm here, God, send me, I'll do it. And it's usually so scary. Even starting this podcast was scary as hell. Like I am completely out of my comfort zone when I do this, but I was like, you know what, God, send me, I'm here, I'm gonna do it. And I watched someone that was saying how, you know, a lot of you are sleeping on your potential, and there are people waiting on employment opportunities. There are people who you're meant to employ, and they are waiting for those employment opportunities to come their way, and you're sleeping on your potential. There are people whose lives are going to be changed because of you saying yes to that thing. There are people who they are going to be so impacted by whatever that your business, your ministry, your, you know, whatever it is that you need to do, whatever it is your purpose in life is. And the more you continue to sleep on that potential, the more you continue to do a disservice, not only to yourself, but all these other people that are meant to be impacted in one way or another because of the services you're going to offer them. So, in a nutshell, my best kept secret about the imposter syndrome and just going out and doing whatever it is you desire to do is a quote that I actually just learned about a few days ago. And it's by Roosevelt. God, I hope I said his name right. And I think it was from a speech he made about a man in an arena. And I'm just going to read it for you. And it says, the man in the arena, it's not the critic who counts, not the man who points out how the strong man has stumbled. Oh, okay. Let me give you context before I read this thing. So basically, you know, I don't know if you guys watch like shows like Game of Thrones or Vikings or whatever, but when they have those like fights in an arena, so how there's like usually like a big crowd around them, and then inside the arena, it's usually like two people fighting, or I don't know, but you can just imagine an arena in your mind, and then there's one person or two people in the middle, and then there's like a crowd around them watching. So the quote says, the man in the arena, it's not the critic who counts, not the man who points out how the strong man stumbled or where the doer of deeds could have done them better. The credit belongs to the man who is actually in the arena, whose face is marred by dust, sweat, and blood, who strives valiantly, who errs, who comes short again and again, who spends himself in a worthy cause, who at best knows in the end the triumph of high achievement, and who at worst, if he fails, at least he fails while daring greatly, so that his place shall never be with those cold and timid souls who neither know victory nor defeat. So what I learned from this quote, which is my best kept secret, is that failure is that failure and victory are inseparable. Whatever it is that you go out and do, you're bound to fail sometimes, but you're also bound to come out victorious sometimes. So don't limit yourself and don't hold yourself back because you're afraid of failing. The person who gets the most credit is the person that tried. The person that he put himself out there, went through the blood, sweat, and tears. If he failed, then he failed and he learned. If he succeeded, then what if he didn't try at all? He would have never succeeded. So I hope that today you find the courage to be the man in the arena, the man or woman that puts themselves out there, the man who dares to be great and fail sometimes, but other times comes out victorious. Thank you so much for watching or listening. I'll see you guys in our next episode. Bye.